It is no secret to any of us that Jews currently find themselves in a very difficult predicament all over the world. We have seen an uptick in anti-Semitic attacks all over the countries where we used to feel very comfortable walking the streets. Suddenly, we are second-guessing ourselves and asking whether or not we are safe to walk the streets with our yarmulke, with a head covering, giving over, disclosing our identity as Jews. And it's a very complicated and difficult time for all of us. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is the Torah's response? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of us as the Jewish community at times that are so difficult and so trying like this one? We look no further than this week's Parsha, Parshas Bahaloscha, where the Torah describes the unfortunate story of Miriam, where she says something against her brother, and as a result of that, she is inflicted with tzara'as. Moshe Rabbeinu has tremendous pain that his sister is now inflicted with this illness, and he is trying to figure out what it is that he should do in reaction and response to the predicament that she finds herself in. Ultimately, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu offers a very short and cryptic tefillah. He doesn't even mention his sister's name. All he says is five words. Kel na rifa na la. God, please help my sister. Help and heal my sister. And Rashi points out something that is very strange. Mipnei ma lo herech Moshe betfila. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the best you can do? Your sister is sick. Your sister's in the ICU. Your sister's life is on the line. Are you not afraid? The best you can do is offer a five-word tefillah for your own sister. Don't you understand? Don't you connect to the pain that she's in? Can you do better than just five words? Can you connect with what it is that she's going through? Mipnei ma lo herech Moshe betfila. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu not offer a tefillah that is longer, that is more detailed, that asks for a specific request, more than just the five words that he says that seem to be so cryptic? And Rashi explains, quoting a Gemara, the reason why is because, Kedei shelo yehu Yisrael omrim, in order that the Jewish people should dare say, Achosa omedes bitzara, his sister Miriam is there in pain, she's going through a difficult situation, v'hu omedu marbe betfila, Moshe Rabbeinu, do you think that's the appropriate response? There's somebody who's sick, there's somebody who's suffering, there's somebody here who's struggling, and we all see it. And the response cannot be to stand and daven along Shmona Esrei. That is not the appropriate response right now. What you, Moshe Rabbeinu, need to do is offer a short tefillah. We need to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to save us. The Ribbono Shel Olam has the ability to heal us. The Ribbono Shel Olam can help us and does help us at all times. And tefillah certainly exacerbates that point. However, there are times when tefillah is the answer, and there are other times when action is the answer, when we need to be enthused and passionate about the situation, that we need to go out and actually do something proactively. We need to be engaged. We need to have resolve that we will change it. And tefillah is not enough of a response. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Yuma that the Kohen Gadol, at the height of his avodah on Yom Kippur, used to go out into the Kodesh HaKadashim, and this was the pinnacle of his experience. Imagine he's preparing all of his life to be the Kohen Gadol. And now here is his moment. He's in the Kodesh HaKadashim. He has the opportunity to offer a tefillah on behalf of the Jewish people. He is the most noble citizen of the Jewish people. He is the closest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does he say when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim? He offers a very short and cryptic tefillah as well. And the Gemara says, Veloha Yamarach Bitfilaso. The Kohen Gadol was not going to make his tefillah a long one. Shalov Lahavis Es Yisrael. Because he didn't want to scare the Jewish people. If he would be in there for too long, the Jews would be afraid. They wouldn't know, is he going to make it out alive or not? There are times when tefillah is appropriate and when tefillah needs to be our singular focus. And there are other times in life when tefillah cannot be the only answer. There are times in life when we need more, when we need proactive involvement, when we need to be passionate, when we need to be bold, when we need to stand up and be engaged. And that is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us. The Chazon Ish talks about this as well. I believe the Chazon Ish talks about a situation. Imagine for a moment, just to bring it down to our terms, somebody passes by a swimming pool and they see a child is drowning in the river. They see a child is drowning in the water. And instead of jumping in to save that child, they go off to the side and they offer a tefillah. And they're standing there for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, offering a very heartfelt tefillah with tears rolling down their eyes. And says the Chazon Ish, do you think that that would be the proper response? Do you think that that is appropriate? Of course not, writes the Chazon Ish. At that moment, when you see somebody drowning in the water, when you see somebody in a swimming pool that needs help, you jump in. You don't do anything more or less than jump in and put your hands out and actively engage in trying to save them. Tefillah at that moment would be the most inappropriate thing for you to do. The Chazon Ish writes, it would be usur for you to be mispala then. Don't take one extra moment, one extra second. Jump into the water, put your hands in, get involved, and do what needs to be done. If a person finds himself in a situation where they are unable to save the one in the water, or somebody else is trying to save them and you are just a bystander, in that case, writes the Chazon Ish, yes, what else can I do other than offer a tefillah? But there are moments in our lives where we have to realize that tefillah is not the answer. Obviously, we need to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always involved, that the Ribono Shel Olam's help is always critical for all of us. However, the Ribono Shel Olam expects so much more from us than just that. He wants us to jump in the water and save ourselves. The Ribono Shel Olam wants us to be so involved. The Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim writes, Ki Hashem Elokecha Be'rachecha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadecha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has blessed you. Bechol Ma'aseh Yadecha, writes the Yalkut Shimoni. What does it mean, Ki Hashem Elokecha Be'rachecha? Writes the Yalkut, Yachal afilu ata yoshev batel. You might think that I'm even sitting idly by, that I will have the gift of Hashem Elokecha Be'rachecha. You might think that God is going to give me all the blessings, just when I'm sitting by and letting life play itself out. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, Bechol ma'aseh yadecha, im osa adam. If man is willing to invest, if man is willing to contribute, if man is willing to advance his own story, harehu mizbarech, then you have the promise of God. V'imlav, but if we are not willing to stand up, if we are not willing to understand that we also need to be proactively involved in saving ourselves, in standing up strong and fighting with courage, then, writes the Medrash, Eino Mizbarech. When does the Torah say, Ki Hashem Elokecha Be'rachecha? It's only when it's coupled with the fact that we have Bechol Ma'aseh Yadecha. It's only when we are also actively engaged and show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this is something that is important to us, and it's something that we're willing to fight with. Just this past week in the Parsha, Parshas Naso, we read about the story of the Nazir. And you'll notice as the Torah describes the experience of the Nazir, that there are three different components to what a Nazir must adhere to in his lifetime, in his experience. Number one, the Torah says, he needs to make sure never to cut his hair. Number two, the Torah says he must abstain from wine or any extract, any product of grapes. And number three, the Torah says he is not allowed to go, he's not allowed to participate in a funeral, he cannot come close to a corpse, to a dead body. Those are the three different examples that the Torah gives of how a Nazir is to differentiate himself, distinguish himself from the rest of the community. And yet, when the Torah describes those three, there's one of them that gets an extra special title, and that is when the Torah describes his hair growing long, we are told, Ki Nezer Elokav Al Rosho. Although the Nazir is involved in a sublime experience, although he's connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu more so than everybody else in his community, when the Torah describes his hair growing long, that is like the crown jewel of this experience. Ki Nezer Elokav Al Rosho is the way that that is described in Chumash. You turn to the Haftorah that we read, and it describes the story of Shimshon HaGibor. Shimshon was a great man. He was known to be very powerful, very strong. And ultimately, later on in his life, he marries a woman, Dalila, and she is begged by the Plishtim, by the enemy, to find out what is the secret strength of your husband. How does Shimshon, how does one individual have the power to overcome an entire nation? How is everybody so afraid of Shimshon HaGibor? What is the secret to his strength? And Dalila is watering down her husband, and she's begging him every day, tell me the secret, tell me the secret. What is it? What's the secret to your strength? Until finally, he gives in to his wife, and he says, if you'd like to know the secret to my strength, it is the fact that I am a Nazir. And a Nazir, in his experience, is not allowed to cut his hair. And because of the hair that I have, that is the secret to all of my strength. That is the secret to why I am Shimshon HaGibor. And that brings about the tragic end to the story of Shimshon as his wife goes ahead and takes that away from him. She removes his strength. Rav Soloveitchik points out, why is it that when Shimshon is asked what the strength that he has is, what's the secret power of a Nazir? Why is it that he only shares the detail about the hair? What about all the other aspects of Nazirus? Why doesn't he talk about those as well? And why is it, says Rav Soloveitchik, that when the Torah describes the experience of a Nazir, and we are told about the three different elements, the three different components that a Nazir requires during his experience as being a Nazir, why is it that the Torah only says that the crown jewel of this experience is when he has his hair growing long? Explains Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully, and it's so powerful and so relevant to our time, to our situation that we're unfortunately living through today. He says, if you want to know the secret of a Jew's strength, if you want to know the secret to Jewish survival, I will tell you exactly what it is. Shimshon was asked, what is the strength of a Jew? And the answer that he gives is, although it's true that there are aspects of our spiritual lives that we share in an intimate way with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, although there are things that we do or do not do because that strengthens our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, a Nazir doesn't drink wine, and a Nazir doesn't go to a cemetery, he doesn't participate in funerals, but that's not what gives him the ultimate strength. If you want to know what gives a Jew the ultimate strength, why is it that someone is able to be so powerful? How is it that we endure all of the waves that have come against us? Writes Rav Soloveitchik, the answer is in our hair. Nezer Elokav al Rosho. When a Jew is willing to stand up and show the world with pride and never to be ashamed, when the Jew is willing to stand up with courage and say, this is what I am, this is what I represent, my external appearance gives off exactly who I am, I will never be ashamed, I will never back down, I'll show the world that I'm proud of my Judaism, I'm proud of what I represent, I'm proud of what the Jewish people represent, I'm proud of what the state of Eretz Yisrael, of what the Jewish community represents, of what the Jewish philosophy and hashkafa is all about, what the Torah tells us to do. That exterior, that pride that a Jew has and shows the world, is what really is the secret to all of our strength. And Shimshon HaGibor tells that to Dalila. You want to know the secret? It is not the fact that I abstain from anything else. The secret to my strength is that I'm willing to stand up and show the world in a very external way that I am a Jew, that I'm proud of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I'm happy to be related to Him, that I am so honored to have an intimate experience connecting with the Ribono Shel Olam. Moments like these in our Jewish experience are ones where we need to stand up, where we need to have courage, where we need to engage, where we dare not be passive, where we cannot remain compliant and docile. It's a time where we need to stand up proud and strong, where we need to be engaged and active in telling the world what it is that we stand for. We need to be enthused, we need to be passionate about our feelings, about what it is that we stand for, about what it is that we represent, and what it is that our community brings to the greater good of the world. And that perhaps is what Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in this week's Parsha. Although tefillah should never be underestimated, tefillah can never be something that we say is irrelevant. Tefillah can never be something that we don't engage in. But there are times to be marich b'tefillah. There are times when we have to extend our tefillah and take a very long time and only subject ourselves to the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the vehicle of tefillah. And there are other moments that Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us. You just offer a short tefillah, and after that, you get actively involved in whatever it is that needs to be done. After that is Hashem Elokecha Beirachecha B'chol Ma'asei Yadecha. And this is why we felt that it was important that our community be engaged in an active rally that is going on tomorrow. It is so important for all of us to participate. It is important for all of us to do our part and to show that we are a proud community, that we will not step down, that we will try to advocate as best as we can, b'siyata d'shmaya be'ezras Hashem, with God's help, to give the Jewish community a safe and productive experience, and to ultimately bring all of us to the place where we hope all to be, with the Geula Shlema Bimhera V'Yameinu, Amen V'Amen. I look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow. I look forward to being there with you, to standing tall and proud together with all of you in a safe environment, and thank you for your participation.